Greetings and welcome back to another and ongoing series of Shir Man Daf Yomi. We are now at the final Shir of Masechet Nazir, looking at the Mishnah and Daf Samech Hei Amud Bet in Nazir. B'shivad Rachim Bodkim Et Hazav Ad Shelo Nizkak L'Zivah. This continues with the theme that we've already seen, which is that when a person does not yet have a Chezka Tuma, we judge Sfeikot leniently. Once they have, then they need to assuredly be Tahor to get out of it. So there are seven different methods we use. This is dealt with in much more detail in Masechet Zavim. Seven different questions that we ask somebody who seems to be a Zav to find out whether or not it happened, this emission happened as a result of legitimate Ziva or because of some external or ancillary reason. This, by the way, only applies to men and not to women. Isha namim ba'onas mitama. But what are they? Achulis kakla Ziva. This is only before he is a Zav. B'machal, meaning, once he's a Zav, if he has further re'iot, we don't ask these questions. In any case, we consider them to be further occurrences of Tumah. B'machal, if he ate certain things, or maybe spicy things, b'mishte, if he had a lot to drink, b'masa, if he carried a heavy burden, b'kfitza, if he was jumping around, b'chol, if he was sick, b'mare, if he saw something, perhaps lascivious, b'yirhur, if he perhaps had impure thoughts, that might have led to the emission. Now, mishnizkak l'ziva, once he's already had the ziva and he's already a zav, ein bodkin oto, you don't ask these questions, and any ri'ya we assume to be ziva. Now, a corollary to this is the following halacha. On so sfeiko shichvat zaro. So if he sees something ba'ones, there's a suffix about it. His shichvat zera are tmeim shraglaim ladavar. Again, the notion of raglaim ladavar, we assume because he's already azav that he continues to be a zav, and any emission is therefore part of that. Now, hamaket chavero ve'amduhu l'mita. A parallel case in another area of halacha, if somebody beats another person and the doctors give him not a good prognosis, he's going to die as a result of the beating, and then he gets better. Then he gets worse and dies. Chayav. But Rav Nechemya Omer Patur Shraglaim LaDavar. He uses Raglaim LaDavar in sort of an opposite way, and he says, since he already got better, therefore the wound, the battery, is no longer the cause of his problem. The Raglaim LaDavar is to health, meaning that the assumption now is that the result of the beating would not lead to his dying. If he dies later, then we assume it's from something else, and the batterer is exempt. Now, the Gemara will only focus on the first part of that, which is the issue of the Zav. How do we know that a Zav gets this opportunity to not have his Shichvat Zer be considered Ziva if he can answer any of these questions in the affirmative? At the end of the Parsha of Taharad Zavim, at the very end of Parsha Metzora, it says, V'hazav et zovo lazachar v'lanakeva. Why does it say Hazav et Zovo? The Riyash the Shidit Kashtan Akeva, meaning Hazav et Zovo, meaning that's what a man uniquely has, a unique Ziva for men. But La Zachar Lana Keva, for the third one, they are already equated, a man and a woman are equated, where even Ba'onas. So it's not based so much on the Chazaka as Gzerat HaKatuv, the Torah says that the first two Re'iyot, it has to be Mibisaro and not Mi'ones. The third one is already like in the Keva, that it doesn't matter what the reason is. But Rabbi Eliezer says that for the three times we check him, meaning even if he's seen twice, which means he's already Tomei Ziva, he's just not Chai V'Korban, we ask him even the third time, did you have something to eat, to drink, etc.? But the fourth time, we then no longer ask the questions. The answer is that Rabbi Elazar and Chachamim disagree about the use of the word et. Rabbi Eliezer darish etim, so he says hazav, one, et, two, zovo, three. Rabbi lo darish etim, which means we accept the original explanation. We just plug in the word et there and say that Rabbi Eliezer says the word et constitutes a separate re'iyah. Hazav, et, zovo, three re'iyot is independent. Then, lazachar v'la nekeva. Rabbanan don't, therefore they say zav and zovo are two, and the third one is already like a nekeva. Okay, on so usfeiko. So the Mishnah said that that this a fake, we go l'tuma. Rava lotema sofik chazaf sofik l'chazaf. Rava says, don't interpret that as meaning, if there's a sofik, whether or not he saw, ela vadai chazaf. We're talking about where he certainly saw an emission, sofik machmat shik vadzera, sofik machmat riyah. Question just is, what is this emission? Kemeshinizkak l'tuma sfeikot hameh. We judge it to be an occurrence of ziva and not regular shik vadzera. Okay, shikvot zaro metama. That's tmeya. That's what we said. The result is that his shikvot zaro is tame. Lamai, for what purposes? Ile melamaga, if you're saying if somebody touches it, they're tame. So migar mi shikvot zaro to tar, really. Shikvot zaro of a regular guy who's not a zav is metame bimaga. So there's no point in saying that his shikvot zaro is tame. That would be true even if we judged him lakula. Alazaro shel zav metame bimasa. The answer is that the shikvot zaro of a zav is metame even bimasa if you pick it up without touching it. And so that's we're saying that once he's already been established as a zav, any carry he has is metame b'masa. So man shamad lahad amar shichvat zera shel zav metame b'masa. But there is no authority, we say provisionally, who even supports the position that shichvat zera of a zav is metame b'masa. So Ilay Mahay Tana, if you think it's the following Tana, the Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Shichvat Zero Shel Zav Einu Matam B'Masa, Rabbi Eliezer says clearly it's not Matam B'Masa, only B'Maga. Rabbi Shua Omer Matam B'Masa, he says it is, but why? Because it's impossible to carry it without touching something. So that his reason isn't because Masa is an independent problem, but because Masa will certainly involve some form of Maga. So I feel Rabbi Shua Omer, Elam Mishum Tzichtzu Cheziva. How about Ba'ene Lo Amar? It alone is not sufficient. This is the reason. The reason, what we mean by sfeikotame is not for tumat masa, but to say that if he has a carry, we don't claim, oh, it must be just a regular shichvat zera. We maintain it is ziva and it's another riya, and he still has to start a shiva nakim. Now, Sarah Papa came to Rava Lameimar, I did the chul shehu dechazi. Her Papa thought to give this explanation of what Ravada Barava said. He said, because the fellow is weak, because he's a zav, therefore it's not likely that he's going to have a carry which would demand some physical strength. So, I'm like, Rava, Hatnan Gershon Kayer Matame Miad Beziva. We have a Mishnah that says if a ger, a person becomes a convert, and he's already nolad mahul, he's not going through Brit Milah, and he had a carry beforehand, he immediately is a tame as a zav. So you see that even without having physical stress and weakness, we still assume that the shichvat zera is a ziva and not a carry. So Amarlei in the chacholi gadol mizeh. So his answer was Rav Papa's answer was that a person it's not a physical but an emotional and spiritual kind of weakness. A person who's undertaking mitzvot suddenly realizes what a big burden he's undertaken, and he feels very weak. So therefore, chances if he sees something is really a carry. Ella Tanarihi. The answer is that our first supposition about whether it's Tuat Masa really is a Machloka Tanaim. Tanya Shechvat Zerah Shel Zav Metame B'Masa Kol Meit Leit. Tanakama says that the Shechvat Zerah B'Zav is Metame Masa for 24 hours. For Biosi Omer Yomo, he says only during the day that he sees. So which means you see Tanaim who say there is Tuman Masa, and the only question is for how long. Alright, so good. So now we can go back and say that our Mishnah is authored by that school and says that the Shichvat Zaro Tmeya meaning for purposes of Masa because we regard this fellow already as being Vaday Azav and anything we see is Ziva. Now, what's the machloka between Yossi and Chachamim about 24 hours or just a day? But is Shmuel. How to interpret Shmuel? The Shmuel Rami. Shmuel identified a contradiction in the Psukim about leaving the camp when you're Tame in Dvarim. You have somebody who's Tame because of something happened at night. And it says just before evening you should go to the mikvah. So man damar meit le'eit, Shmuel just pointed out the contradiction. The one who says it's 24 hours, diik mi lifnot erev, because you have the tomb at night, and you have to go to the mikveh in the evening and come back. So it's matame for 24 hours. Ve'idach diik mikre laila. He says, no, it's afka mikre laila. Man damar lifnot erev, haktiv mikre laila. So he says, the fact that it's mikre laila means you're only leaving in the morning, and you're tame till evening, so it's only yomo. So the one who says that it's 24 hours, what's he going to do with Mikre Laila? I'm like, Orcha de Keri, Lemetu Belalia, because that's when it normally happens. But the Torah, by using this odd language, take a look at Rashi, means to imply that it would really be 24 hours. Happens, it's usually at night, but even if not, then you still have to wait 24 hours. You go to the mikvah, but then it's metame for 24 hours. All right, the last Mishnah is somewhat of a historic piece, and Azir Hayash Shmuel. Shmuel is an interesting character. Shmuel Harmati is an interesting character because nowhere in his biography in Sefer Shmuel is the mention of him taking on any of the practices of a Nazir. However, in the neder that Chana takes in Perek Aleph of Shmuel, where she commits that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives her a kid, she will give him back to the Mikdash, she also says, Moralo li el al rosho, which means, as we've seen, a blade will not go on his head. Now, the question is, did Shmuel ever behave as a Nazir? So, Rabbi Nehorai says he was, Shenemar, Humoralo Yal Al Rosho. Nemar Bashim Shonamara, Nemar Bashmuel Mora. As you see in the two psukim on the page, that the same words that Chana used are the words that the Malach directed to Manoach's wife, Shmuel, Shimshon's mother. And Shimshon, we certainly know, was a Nazir, a unique Nazir, Nazir Shimshon, which is how he started the Masachet. So, Ma Mora, Morabi Shimshon Nazir, Af Mora, Morabi Shmuel Nazir. Just like the Mora is a reference to a blade, and that's what Shimshon did not have. Similarly, Shmuel did not have, and therefore he's a Nazir. Rabbi Nehorai does not address the issue of how Chana's statement in her Neder would obligate her son. As opposed to in the case of Shimshon, where it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly commanding via the Malach. Right. I'm Rabbi Yossi, Valo in Morah Ela Shabbasar Adam. Rabbi Yossi says the word Morah should be understood the way we would normally spell it, with an Aleph, which is fear. And what she's saying is that, Chana says, is that, if you give me a son, he will be fearless, right? Morah lo yale al rosho. So Amalei Rav Nehorai answered, "V'halokvar nemar v'emar Shmuel echelach v'shama Shaul v'haragani." After Shaul was formally and divinely deposed, although still sitting on his chair as quasi king or whatever, Shmuel was told by God to go to Beit Lechem and anoint a new king, which turns out, of course, to be David. Shmuel said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "How can I go? Shaul will kill me." And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him the out, take an animal, bring us a korban, say that you're going to bring a korban, etc. Which means Shmuel was afraid of people. Shekvar yala morah v'shabasar adam. So how can you say that Chana said morah lo yala rosho? And that, by the way, could be defended also. That Chana is saying, this is what I hope for him. It turns out not to be the case. Or you could say that he won't fear people, but a king he will fear. There are ways to answer it. Nonetheless, Rav Nehorai was of the position that Shmuel Harmati was a Nazir. Other Chachamim disagreed and said that's not what the passage means. And of course, the lack of any mention of his Nazirut in the context of his biography, and specifically in Perek Tet, where he meets Shaul and brings him to the feast, and the assumption here is that the feast, they're not only eating a korban, but also drinking wine, makes it difficult. But nonetheless, there's room to interpret it either way, as we see among the Tanaim. Now, Amar Rav Chia Bre, Rav told Chia, his son, Chatofu Barich. This has nothing to do with our content, but we'll see what the reason that this concluding passage to Masachet Nazir is brought. He said, Chatofu Barich, when you have an opportunity to make a bracha and there's other people there, grab the opportunity if you can for you to be the one to make a bracha. It's better to make the bracha than to answer amen. Like a kosher bracha that everybody needs one person to do, you be the one to do it. Rav Huna la Rabba Berei. Rav Huna, who was Rav's student, also told his son, same thing, Chatofu Barich. So the Meimra de Mavarech Adif, you think it's better to be the one who makes the bracha? Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that someone who says amen has a greater reward than the one who makes the bracha. Rabbi Nehorai, and that's why this is quoted, because Rabbi Nehorai, who's rarely quoted in Shas, shows up in the Mishnah, so they quote another statement of Rabbi Nehorai. Hashemayim, he takes an oath, and he says, Kenu, indeed that's the case. The grunts, the NCOs go and fight in the war. And the heroes come and get all the glory. They fight. In other words, the same thing is, you make the bracha, and then the heroes come and say amen. Those are the guys who get all the glory. So the answer is Tanaihi. It's Machloka Tanaim, which is better, to be the one who makes the bracha or the one who responds to the bracha. The Tanya Chana Mvarech, the Chana Omein V'mashma. That those who receive a bracha are included whether or not they're the ones who say the bracha or who answer amen. Take a look at Rashi. Points to the pasuk in Tehillim, Gadol Adonai Iti Uramash Vayachtav, where one is invoking others to answer, and together they praise God, the one who invokes and the ones who respond. Al Shemarim Mvarech Tchila, but the one who gets to the schar first is the one who made the bracha. He provoked, he instigated, he initiated. All right, so the reality is Machloka Tanaim, which is better, and Rav and Rav Huna both were instructing their sons according to this last opinion. Now, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Hanina, famous statement with which we end Masechet Yivamot and Masechet Brachot, also Masechet Nazir, Tamnei Chachamim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam, Shema Rechob Banayich, Limudei Adonai Rav Shalom Banayich. In some versions of this drasha, we do the Al Tikrei, don't read Banayich, rather Bonayich, but here it's not written, and rather the idea is that all of your sons are learned of Hashem and they have great peace, which means that those who are learned of Hashem bring peace into the world. Rav Shalom, and that's where the Marbim Shalom, they bring lots of peace into the world. And I will leave it for the Darshanim to discuss why this is that was chosen as the end for Masechet Nazir. In any case, perhaps the notion is that in this last piece where we had a dispute as to whether or not it's better to make the bracha or to answer amen, the reality is that it's a machloka tanaim, which means really another way to look at it is that either thing that you do, you're doing a praiseworthy thing and you're doing a fine thing, and that peace is brought about through the limud of the Talmidei Chachamim. In any case, Hadron Alach Hagoyim Ein Lahem Nazirut Uslika LaMasachet Nazir Baruch Hashem and Shekoach to all the Lomdim. Together we have studied and worked very hard to complete the study of Masechet Nazir, a difficult and insular Masechet. We will be beginning in the next podcast our study of Masechet Sota Be'ezer Hashem, and beginning and completing many, many Sfarim together through this wonderful new technology as we continue to peruse our ancient texts. Everyone should have a wonderful day. And again, Yisher Koach, Tov Litoat Picha, Mi'Alfei Zahav V'Chasef.